You're now listening to Her Story, Women Who Lead, with your host, Sandra Bieber. This is a dynamic and inspiring podcast that really dives into the rich tapestry of women's history, explores critical topics in women's health, and celebrates the profound impact women have on our communities. Stay with us. So welcome to Her Story. My name is Sandra Bieber. I am your host, WDIY 88.1 FM. I can't wait to get into this podcast because I am with a rock star today. I am with Abby Selfies, who is the executive director of the American Heart Association for Eastern Pennsylvania, and of course here in the Lehigh Valley. So we're grateful that you're here with us to talk about all things women, to talk about impact, to talk about leadership, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about, we are looking forward to hearing more about all the great things that you have going on. But please introduce yourself to our amazing viewers and listeners.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me here. Yeah. It's truly an honor. I have followed this since its inception and always wanted to be part of this. And here I am during Heart Month, and what a great time to get to chat with you. As you said, I'm Abby Selfies. I have been the executive director in Eastern Pennsylvania for the last 7 years. I've got to live, work, and play in the Lehigh Valley for the last 20 years. I am a transplant. I moved here from the Midwest. But I love the Lehigh Valley, and I love so many of our female leaders in Lehigh Valley. So yes, it's an honor to sit with you today.
Thank you. And you know, you have been such an advocate for women and for women's health when it comes to being able to educate individuals. Your career span has always kind of was really around health, whether it was the Cancer Society or when you worked with now the American Heart Association. I'm just excited to hear all the things that that really make you tick as a woman, as a leader. So what made you go into women's health, especially when it comes to our heart? It's one of the most important things. It's what keeps us going. But what is the impact that made you go into that role?
So that's a really interesting question and a path that some people don't even know about me. But I actually went to school for hospitality business.
Wow.
And
I
so
love that.
Came out of college working for a restaurant chain and started having babies. I had children young, and I was very blessed to have 5 daughters.
That's beautiful.
And so at a certain point in time with my career, I decided to stay home and raise my kids for a handful of years, which is probably my favorite title. That I hold as being a mom.
And you're an amazing one at that.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. But I kind of had some time to reflect in that as to, like, what do I want to do next? What's the next chapter of my life look like? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, I had lost a friend at a young age to brain cancer and a young woman. Mm-hmm. And it kind of came out of nowhere. And I had always thought cancer was an old people's disease.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was a huge misconception, but this was, you know, 20 years ago. And I just started volunteering, and I decided, like, this space, this nonprofit, health-facing, women-centric space was something where I really felt like I could add value. I was a mom of 5 girls. I was doing everything in my daily life to make a good impression for them, but also pave a path for them. Mm-hmm. And I realized that there were so many underrepresented women, and we weren't educated as to signs and symptoms of things back from, like you said, when my career was in cancer, to now at Heart, which affects 1 in 3 women.
Absolutely.
And so those were just reasons that gave me drive.
And so congratulations to do in that you just won one of the most influential people in the region. And that is because your heart to serve people. And seeing your career trajectory, seeing you in the community and what you do for people, women especially, is really heartening. And it makes me, as a woman myself, want to do more as well. So tell me a little bit about, first, you have a couple campaigns going on. But I know that since it's Heart Month, we're going to talk about everything to do with the heart. It's not just about love. It's not about, you know, all that gushy-mushy Valentine's Day stuff. Although that's great. We love that. But tell us a little bit how we can practically, right, and some things that we can do to take care of our heart, and why is it such a misconception that, you know, it's a number one killer in women when it comes to heart disease? How can we prepare ourselves and how we can advocate for women?
Yeah, so that's a loaded question.
Totally. That's all I have. That is all I have here.
It was five questions in one. So let's go back to talking about Heart Month, right? So I think the whole reason behind Heart Month is awareness and education. You know, heart disease takes more people annually than all cancers combined.
Wow.
I didn't know that statistic until I came to the Heart Association, but I was dumbfounded by it.
Absolutely.
We have whole months that we, you know, talk about breast cancer, we talk about brain cancer, and those are all very, very, very vital causes, and we need that.
Absolutely.
But I had never really heard of Heart Month. I'd never really taken part of National Wear Red Day or any of those things until I was here. Mm-hmm. And so I really set out to spread that awareness, to make that something that was more tangible for everyone to take part in our activities in Heart Month. And it's been kind of a personal mission of mine. This year we were blessed on National Wear Red Day to work with like 65 companies in
Huge.
The area that went red for the day.
Absolutely. We did. I know that community
awesome.
Actually High Valley did.
I love that. The pictures were just humbling and, you know, it just really shows that the work that we're doing is getting out there and the word is spreading. I think that there is a huge underrepresentation of women in research, but also in awareness, right? So we as women don't think every day that I could be one in three. I could be one in three women that are affected by heart disease. No, we think about how do we protect our children from things? How do we take care of our spouses or our friends or our parents? We don't really think of us. So when we start, you know, stress affects us, sleep affects us, when things are leading us down a path that could be towards heart disease, that thought never crosses our mind.
Yeah, it's not us. It won't happen to us, right?
Absolutely not. Yeah. And we're going to take care of everyone else before we ever go to the doctor,
Absolutely.
Right? So I think Heart Month is just this unique period of time where we really get the microphone, for lack of better words, right? We have a little extra attention and we really can talk about, you know, those prevention ways or things that you should be advocating for, knowing your numbers, you know, things like that to keep you as a woman healthier and to make sure the other women in our lives are doing the same.
Absolutely. And so this is a two-part series. So we'll be speaking to Dr. Nidhi Mehta from LVHN Jefferson, who's a cardiologist and also the president of your board for the American Heart Association of Eastern PA in Lehigh Valley. That's really huge because tying in all of the things that you're doing and getting in the community and how can people get involved is really going to be a vital conversation. So I really listen into this, folks. But for an impact for our community, what do you see us doing so good? And what are some campaigns that are going on right now that you want us to be paying attention to?
So the one thing I think about the Lehigh Valley, where we're able to make impact that I have found in other places that it's not so easy is, you know, heart disease and women's health are things that are deeply personal. Right?
Absolutely.
They're full of emotion. There's triggers. There's things that make us nervous about it. And the Lehigh Valley is a very accepting community. It is okay to be vulnerable here. That's one of
beautiful.
The reasons I feel like I've succeeded as a leader is that I can be emotional and vulnerable, but still be taken as
a force.
Yes.
That's
sure. We'll go with that. But still be respected as a leader, right?
Yes,
like
absolutely.
You can be vulnerable and still strategic.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same way when we're looking at our campaigns. How do we tell those beautiful emotional survivor stories? Mm-hmm. How do we embrace people who have been affected?
Mm-hmm.
But by also trying to drive change at the same time. So you asked about programs, and Heart Month kicks off two of our unique programs, which is our Women of Impact and Teen of Impact programs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so excited to, over the next 9 weeks, be walking alongside the class of women and teen this year that are an extension of the voice of the Heart Association.
I love that. And one of the things that makes me really tear up are those stories. I remember seeing one of my favorite photographers in the region, and she's a woman. She's shot for LV Style and so many other amazing editorials, Allison Conklin. And that was gut-wrenching for me because you think that people are okay, they're fine 1 minute, and you know maybe they're hiding, you know, some or working on something behind closed doors. And the strength that she you know, portrayed. And I saw that through the American Heart Association. And I said, I don't know how I'm going to get involved, but I want to get involved in some way. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to collaborate with you on so many different things, but especially during this month to raise awareness. Because I think that if there is something to be done that we can trigger, or that we can warn, or that we can help educate the masses, especially our sisters, I would say, in our community. And going back to that vulnerability piece, you could not have been more right. Vulnerability plays such a crucial role in how we operate as human beings, but how we operate as leaders in being accountable to our work. So, you know, this has been probably the quickest segment that I've ever had, because I could go on and on and on with you.
Wait, we didn't talk about half the things. I could
really
talk to you forever.
Like, same. And so I want the people to know you, because Abby, you are a treasure in our community. You care so much. You care deeply about not only your family, but you treat others with respect and dignity. Tell me a little bit about some rapid fire things about what makes Abby happy.
Oh, wow. I love that. I truly do. My kids make me happy.
That's
right?
Beautiful.
I am watching them become successful women.
Yes.
I have, out of five, four of them live out of state, which has then enabled me to get to travel now,
yeah,
which is wonderful and also something I love. But I love growing my community.
Yeah.
And I am selective about the people that I call friends, but
sure,
I care, you know, indefinitely for them. But I also love telling people's stories.
Yeah.
And you are such a great example of being like the hype squad, right? Like, you know, if you, we have you in your corner, I'm going to feel good about what I'm wearing, how I look, what I'm saying, all the things. But I want to be that way. Somebody once told me that being a crown straightener is
right,
the best thing that you can be as a woman.
Come on.
And I loved that.
I love that.
Somebody asked me yesterday, I was at an event, and somebody said, if you had to pick one word to describe yourself, what would it be? And that's like a hard question, right? Because
yeah,
there are a lot of words in the English language, and I had to think about it. And I said, I was at a conference a couple weeks ago, and we had to kind of do some naming like that. And somebody told me that I was the most authentic person they knew.
Wow.
And that is such a compliment.
So
if I could lead with authenticity and just be me in any, you know, role in my life, then that is what I would, you know, hang my hat on and be proud of.
That makes me so happy, because when we talk about, I know that the women's conference is coming up with the chamber, and that's going to be in the summertime, and authenticity is the theme.
Yep.
And so when we talk about authenticity, sometimes people tell you, oh, you got to be authentic, you got to be authentic. But when someone is telling you to be authentic and they themselves are not authentic to themselves, I've had, you know, several people say that, but I'm like, hold on a second. Like, first, we have to figure out what we're doing here, you know? I would love for more people to be like you in that way, to really know who they are. And you could feel it on people when they're just themselves, when they feel like they're comfortable, that they could be who they want to be in life. And I'm just grateful for that. And one of the things for young women, you pour into so many young women, your daughters being some of them, watching their journey. But tell me a little bit about this next generation. And I'm going to throw you for a little curve here in that, what would you leave as a legacy, as an impact that you want to leave on that young generation?
So I have served on the board for the Women's Business Council for, this is my sixth and last year on that council. And I feel like we've done such phenomenal work moving that space forward and really being able to connect with the next generation. And some of that is us moms who have children
that
are coming up into the workforce. I think that vulnerability piece, the legacy I would want to leave with that generation, is that it is okay to be yourself. It
That's
is okay
right.
to
That's
be
so
nervous.
So
you
good.
Should have fears.
Yeah.
You do not know it all.
Mm.
You know, to always just push yourself that little bit outside your comfort zone, because that's where you're going to taste success.
Yeah.
I mean, I told you I was nervous coming here today, but my dad told me when I was little that you're nervous about things you care about. I think that's
Aww.
How I ever performed in any dance recital or anything, you know, because I was nervous, but he challenged me to do that. And so I just challenge our next generation to know that you don't have to have it all together.
Yeah. And you know, one beautiful thing is that you care about women, and you care about her story, first of all, that means so much to me. And you care about me as a person, and I felt that deeply, and I'm grateful for you. So that wraps up our time, girlfriend.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a quick one. You did amazing. I'm just grateful for you, for your leadership, for your heart. And I'm looking forward to the people hearing your story, and looking forward to hearing more. So thanks for joining us on Her Story. Yeah. Okay, we are here on Her Story. As you all know, we celebrate here women who lead. And I am honored to be with Dr. Nidhi Mehta, LVHN Jefferson, a cardiologist, a woman of impact, the president of the American Heart Association of Eastern Pennsylvania and Lehigh Valley. I'm honored to be here with you today. And we're so excited. It's Heart Month this month. It's February. But every month is really Heart Month for you. And I'm so excited to dive into knowing who you are and introduce yourself to the world.
Thank you very much, Sandra, for the kind introduction. Yeah. I'm a non-invasive cardiologist at Lehigh Valley, part of Jefferson Health. I have a strong passion for women's cardiovascular health, and I'd like to share some information
today. I love that. What made you become a cardiologist?
So my previous background was in engineering. Putting parts together. And I think if we really distill it down, the human body is a lot of electrical wires, plumbing, but there is a whole nother, much more complex component to the human versus some of the engineering principles that we learn. And I think that challenge is really our emotional and mental well-being. And that is a really important piece that made me transition from kind of the clear medical principles to really being a caregiver and a physician in the community. So,
and you have such a heart for caregiving. The moment that I met you, I felt at ease immediately. And I said, oh my goodness, I have 100 questions that I want to ask personally. But I said, I'll just save that. Maybe I'll just make a doctor's appointment. But you have that touch of when they say bedside manners, right, with physicians. It's really important. And especially when it comes to heart care. What have you seen in your career? And how, was it when you were young that you wanted to be a cardiologist, or you just said, you know what, on a fluke, I'm going to stop being an engineer for a second here, and I'm just going to pick up my cardiologist hat?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've always had a love for science, and all of these fields have, the science discipline. So that aspect, I think, could be applied to a lot of careers. But yeah, there is a component of having a relationship, a bond, a trust with another individual.
Absolutely.
That really makes a caregiver, a different area, being a physician, different than being an engineer. And I think that transition, as I was, in my previous career, before I went on to medical school, I was an engineer for a number of years working on vaccines, which obviously have a lot of public health importance. But it really didn't get to that relationship. And I think so much of our care is driven by the relationships we create with our patients. And I think that is what drove me to transition my field, although a little later in life, to start all over. But yes, that was the main reason.
And you say that lightly, that is such an amazing accomplishment to be able to say, I want to switch my entire, degree in which I studied. Engineering is not for the lighthearted. Where did you go to school?
So I went to undergrad at Cornell.
Wonderful.
In Ithaca, New York.
Yeah.
And then I worked at a company, Merck Pharmaceuticals, for a number of years in their vaccine division, their production of the HPV vaccine, which we know.
Fantastic.
And another vaccine for HIV at the time.
Yeah.
And then I started to think into that where I was trying to figure out higher education.
Yeah.
And that's where I made that transition and went to the University of Pittsburgh for medical school. And then I went on to do all my medical training at the University of Pennsylvania.
That's fantastic. Okay, so you're Pennsylvania through and through in some, respects here.
Yeah.
I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely loving that. And I think we're so fortunate to have such a really rich health network and community in the Lehigh Valley, especially. And health plays a really pivotal role in what we do. So your work as a cardiologist, the impact that you've seen, what are some stories, some powerhouse stories that you're like, wow, you go home at night and you say, I really, truly made a difference today. Tell me a story that really pulled on your heartstrings.
So, I mean, I think, you know, as my husband and family would say, Mom, what's the story for tonight?
Yeah.
But I, you know, every day, you know, you're seeing many individuals, right? Yeah. Whether it's in the hospital, whether it's in the office, it really only takes one moment to be like, wow, like maybe I made a difference.
Yeah.
If it's whether they had a heart attack and they were young and now they quit smoking.
Yeah.
It's like a simple thing, but you know, for 30 years they were smoking. And if you, maybe you made the difference, maybe it was their community, their support system, but combined, they made a big change. It could be a young woman coming in with a heart attack and you're like confused as to why she had this. Mm-hmm. What cards was she thrown? Mm-hmm. And trying to play detective.
Yes. You know, engineer.
Engineer.
Absolutely.
Right, to try to solve that problem.
Yeah.
And hopefully coming to a conclusion, coming to an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And many times feeling a little unsettled if you don't have that answer. And I think these are the day-to-day. There's these aspects of care where you've had a relationship, you've negotiated with a patient, or you've tried to work them through their mental health or whatever stressors and feel a sense of satisfaction that maybe they did listen to you.
Absolutely.
Even if it was a little piece.
Yeah, for sure.
Or, as I said, you know, some of these younger individuals who come in and just you have no idea. But then you see the other side of it.
Yes.
Cardiology is one of those areas where they're really, really ill.
Yeah.
Almost not alive.
Yeah.
And you potentially can get them through their obstacle and see them in the office as a different person.
Wow.
And to me, that is, you know, although daunting at times.
Absolutely.
It really, the sense of satisfaction you feel is really what keeps you going. That you can handle that acuity of care.
Absolutely.
But at the same time, you could potentially reap the benefits and see what happens.
That is so deep in a sense that it takes courage on both sides, the patient side and from the physician side to be able, and the caregiver side to come together and be able to say, how can we work together as a plan from human to human for me to help you use my gifting so you can continue using your gifting?
Correct.
That's really, really heartening.
And I think it takes a lot of patience.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of trust and understanding.
Yeah.
You can't have your patient follow what you're going to say if they don't have trust in you,
certainly,
which means you have to listen to them.
Yeah.
A lot of my practice is first listening.
Mm-hmm.
What are the things that led you to some of these things happening?
Yeah.
And then working through it. And coming out of that visit, you're not going to solve. You're not solving the world here. You're not going to solve every one of their problems. Yeah. But even if you take a morsel or a crumb.
That's right.
It's one step in a positive direction.
That's so
I think that that's a really important part of the care you provide. And that works beyond the office. That works in your community, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you can, it's more on a public health where you can make these changes and impact so many people. To make those changes. Now you've gone from one to one to potentially a whole group of people making a change. And that, to me, is very impactful for the care of the community.
Well, that was, I mean, if that didn't knock your socks off, folks, I'm not sure what it could. But tell us a little bit about what are some things that women can do to benefit their heart? What are some advice?
I mean, I think women have to be empowered in all stages of their life to take care of themselves.
Yes.
The reproductive lifespan of a woman is absolutely critical in their care and their ability to understand their risk. And what do I mean by that? When we think of a woman of childbearing age going through a simple pregnancy, but if they have what we call an adverse pregnancy outcome, such as high blood pressure during their pregnancy, or what we call preeclampsia, where their blood pressure is really high during pregnancy or after, or gestational diabetes, again, you know, diabetes during their pregnancy, preterm labor. These are things that we think once you have the baby, you're done and just tuck it under the rug and not think about it. But that's actually the first sign of a possible, quote, stress test on the woman.
Interesting.
That we need to think about that. That why did we go through that? Why were these women subjected? Is it that they have hidden risk factors?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe high cholesterol, maybe some borderline high blood pressure before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is it something that's changed during pregnancy? But this is a red flag that we have to think about as they're progressing. Same as they go through their subsequent pregnancies, knowing that knowledge is important. And how I take care of them from 35 onwards is
Absolutely.
Very impactful.
Okay.
And that's the same thing that can be said as we go through menopause, right? The menopause transition, where it's a time of hormonal changes, ovarian aging, and risk of high cholesterol, blood pressure, and all that. So those are different pieces that we have to think about.
I can't tell you how important this is, because I know at least three women that have gone through pregnancies, that have gone through, you know, just like you're saying, even premenopause. I heard it was 36 that were starting at premenopause in some ways.
Yeah.
And relatively new information is coming out every single day on things. And I'm really grateful that you shared that. And this time has been amazing with you, just sitting down and being able to talk about all the things and sharing this little snippet. Again, I could literally sit down with you for hours. I'm going to have to reschedule. This has to be a part two for you. Let's do some rapid fire and let's talk about, you know, one daily habit that makes the biggest difference for women.
So I think for women and for everyone is knowing your nutrition food labels. So
yes.
Knowing the content of salt. We know that high blood pressure affects almost all middle-aged women.
Absolutely.
And I think food is medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I think having heart-healthy dietary patterns is really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's one thing to think about as we're trying to decide our meal plans for lunch, dinner, breakfast.
Yeah. Well, now you made me hungry now. So I'm a huge foodie. So what is your favorite food that you think is like the creme de la creme for heart health?
So I think it depends on, you know, what time of day. I think, you know, something that's high protein.
Mm-hmm.
So like Greek yogurt with granola,
yeah.
A little bit of honey is great for breakfast. Salmon with some avocado is great for dinner. High
Excellent.
In omega-3 fatty acids and
mm-hmm.
protein.
Mm-hmm.
Salads with like, you know, predominantly whole food, plant-based, so lots of greens, lots of fiber, vegetables. And if you need a protein, such as a lean chicken is fine, or fish
mm-hmm.
or tofu is all, I think, great options. And obviously, you have to mix it up a little, because that does get boring after a while.
For sure. We're really blessed here in the sense that we have such an international background here, even especially in the Lehigh Valley. So if we want Indian food, we're going to go get Indian food. If we want
Correct.
Mediterranean, we're going to get Mediterranean.
Cultural.
You know, a lot of cultural mix. And I think that plays a big, significant role, too, because every day you're eating something new, something different.
Yeah.
And so balancing that.
And we have to be respectful of the different cultures and cuisines.
Absolutely.
And how to make all of them healthy in some aspect.
Absolutely.
And I think that's an important piece. We can't just assume that everybody's going to eat salad and chicken. We have to understand cultural norms as well.
That's wonderful.
So
one question that I'm so excited to ask you is, what is the one impact that you would love to give to younger women or to women in general as your voice is being heard?
You know, as in a time when we're taking care of others, caregiving,
mm-hmm.
Both our parents, maybe our children, I think it's very easy to forget about ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's really important to think both of the mental and physical well-being, because at that stage in our life, we tend to forget about our own health. And what I hope today has brought out is that we really do need to think about our health in all aspects of our life.
Yeah.
And most importantly, not to forget that if there is something when you're younger, any concerns you have, medical concerns, you need to empower yourself and you need to advocate
right.
for yourself. Because, you know, there's a lot of disparities in care. And we know that among women, especially for cardiovascular disease,
mm-hmm.
they may not have the classic chest pain. They may have some other symptoms of nausea or fatigue. But there are other conditions besides what you call a heart attack that women suffer.
Yeah.
They can suffer what we call MINOCA, a heart attack that doesn't block the arteries. Wow. It can affect the small arteries. You can also have a tear in the vessel wall called spontaneous coronary artery dissection, or SCAD, wow. or broken heart syndrome. Yeah. These are conditions that predominantly affect women and sometimes younger women. Mm. So we need to be aware of some of these conditions. But ultimately, you have to empower yourself and you have to make time for yourself. That's only how you're going to improve your cardiovascular health.
So what she's saying, ladies, is take care of yourself, okay? Treat yourself once in a blue and once in a lot, actually. So I'm really, really grateful that we had this conversation. Thank you for joining us on Her Story.
You.
It's been an honor to sit down with you, and we're looking forward to hearing all the good things that folks have to say. So thank you, Dr. Thank
Mata. You so much, Sandra.
Yeah,
I appreciate
absolutely. It. Absolutely, yeah. I'm Sandra Bieber, and you're listening to Her Story.